Honorable members and esteemed ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
And Mr. Tambo and your delegation, you are welcome to this portfolio committee. And then without much ado, perhaps, we shall start. But let me say that we are not having any apology up to so far. And our agenda is stated, so we shall give Mr. Tambo up to an hour to give his presentation. And then if it is shorter, perhaps it will allow us even more time to engage so that we can see how we proceed as a nation developing landmarks of South Africa of tomorrow, which we think then will set up a basis for a sound nation building in South Africa, putting all different diverse people together behind a common purpose. And it is a long road, it is a journey, but a journey that has got to have milestones. If the project ultimately becomes successful, I believe it is one of those projects that would be a milestone in the development of South Africa, its culture, and then its successful future scenario. Because there could be different scenarios, but now we are looking at a successful scenario of all people in South Africa holding hands, moving forward to a great South Africa. So without much ado, Mr. Tambo, over to you and your team.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I begin, Mr. Chairman, may I seek a point of clarification? You've mentioned that we have an hour. Does that include the question and answer session, or is that purely presentation?
No. How long? Okay, it includes questions and answers.
It includes
the question and answers.
It's an hour.
Okay.
I'll be brief.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the last meeting we are having of this parliament, the first parliament. Okay. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir, for the invitation, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for giving us the opportunity to present to you. My name is Danny Tano. With me is Sarah Haynes, and I and Haynes are heritage tourism entrepreneurs. She is an expert long-standing in heritage tourism. I'm something of a newer entrant, but because of my love of history and my belief that heritage and heritage tourism is actually the show business of history. It's when you take history out of the page and out of the canvas and create something of it that the public can enjoy, interact with, and learn from. Both on a cultural and on a recreational and educational level. But we represent in this discussion two aspects. One is a private company called Kekko Group, which specializes in heritage tourism facilities and also in sculpture and in the heritage field generally. But we are here also as the National Heritage Project Company, which is Section 21. Company established about 4 years ago. And Mr. Chairperson, this project, the National Heritage Monument, was really born out of two things. One was a trip to my father's grave, Father Sandberg grave, where I often go and speak to him. And on this particular trip, I was saying to him that, I lamented the fact that there wasn't a single statue of him anywhere in the country. And so I was saying this to him and saying that I intended to create a statue and ask for his guidance. That evening, I was told through the medium of ancestry that don't do it for me, do it for all of them. and create something which honors all who sacrificed and led the struggle for over 350 years. And that led to the concept of National Heritage Monument, a one-stop shop that celebrates the icons of resistance of the people of South Africa from the 1500s and takes you through a timeline in bronze statue to 1994. So it is a literal long march to freedom. And Mr. Chairman, in 1993, the National Monument Council released a report which said that at that time in 1993, over 90% of the heritage in this country was about the white experience, white history, white leaders, etc. And so it was obviously clear with 1994 that there needed to be a redress of the balance. Unlike in other countries, we didn't choose to throw away the heritage that was already there. But what we did choose to do was to enhance our current nation with a new order, with new heritage. And so that is what we are about, is the creation of new heritage. And we were fortunate that the National Department of Tourism saw the vision very early and assisted us with a grant of 500,000 rand to do a business plan with Ralph Thornton. And that was really the beginning of this project as a serious feasible entity. So the Department of Tourism gave us that budget. The business plan did in fact prove that the project was feasible. We continue to implement the planning of that business plan. And what that led to was a move to Swanee, to a place called Fountain Valley, for what we expect to be the home of this installation. It comprises, chairperson, ladies and gentlemen, of, at its core, 500 life-size bronze statues of leaders of the struggle. And we start with Khoi in the sand, resistance, Doman, Stone, etc. We go through the ages and literally go through the 100-year wars of resistance, through the Anglo-Zulu Wars, and pick out all the main icons of those struggles. Today we've done 48 of the 500. And it ends, as I say, in 1994. So for members of the public, what they'll see is a beautiful parade, a unique and globally unique parade of South Africa history that told through the personalities, so that as you walk along, you can go past Thomas Mapikela and William Ngoi, etc., and you'll get a small audio which will tell you in 3 minutes who this person was and what their main contribution was. So that's a long march to freedom. It's art. It's all done by South African sculptors, and massive research is done into the height of John Dewey, the weight of John Dewey at that time, the clothes that he wore, etc., etc., and likewise, as you'll see with all the others. So it's an artistic endeavor, aimed at entertaining as well as informing. One of the other things is that globally, there are very few statues, bronze statues of Africans, of black people. And even in the United States, there's a lack of them. We also feel that we're in some ways redressing that balance. But what it is supposed to do is give you, in a one-stop shop kind of way, a vision of the journey of the people of South Africa, where they came from. And it's a journey that isn't always appreciated, because many people think of our struggle as a one-generational struggle that started with the ANC-UK. What it shows is that the Makomas, the Hints, etc., were as important in their day and to the democracy that we have today. Secondly, there is a visitor center, and the visitor center is mainly aimed at interpretation of the statues outside. Say there you can go to collect comics on Lillian Ngoi, booklets, DVDs, etc., and a source of knowledge, basically a resource where research will give you further information and certainly point you in terms of where Deku is available. Because we have, as I said, a perspective on heritage that is about tourism, we believe that the success of the book is how many people read it, the success of the film is how many people see it, and the success of a decent, globally competitive heritage installation
is how many foot is it. And therefore, we've designed this installation, and we were fortunate to get Fountain Valley. That area you see, behind it is the grey, is the nation zone, which was the first again in Africa by Kruger in the 1800s. And it's a beautiful nature zone, fantastic research, tourism, cycling, etc. And we intend to enhance that and work with the management and plan up to further develop it. But what you'll see at the bottom there is a representation, art and sketch, of the Long March to Freedom with the visitor centre on this side. And way down the other end is our tourism enhancement aspect, which is a water park. What we'd like to do is to create there African figure water park. We've done extensive research again with John Forney, and the research shows that in terms of weather, in terms of population density at Schwanek, in terms of the amount of use that occupy that area, in terms of the transport of the highways, the Haltrain runs right by it, the metro stop right next to it, etc., access, and then the surrounding suburbs, the Centurion, Midland, and even the Hannesburg, because with the Haltrain, you're 20 minutes away from Roebuck or Stanton River Park. So the business plan really showed that the water park would be an enhancement for the city and for the province, and that there is no serious tourist destination in Schwanek. So the mayor of Schwanek is totally, and the mayoral council are totally in support of the academy and have given their full support, and are donating the land, which will be transferred to the Department of Arts and Culture, and the whole facility will be under custodianship of the Department of Arts and Culture. That's the other aspect of this water park. It also, along with the heritage side, is a major creation of jobs, both in the making of the water park, the construction, the infrastructure, the landscaping, the sculpting, etc. We are creating many, many temporary and many more permanent jobs in this. If one thinks of our historic attractions, such as the Eiffel Tower in Paris, it wasn't just the construction of the Eiffel Tower that created jobs. It was that once there, it created billions over decades in tourist dollars, which created other jobs in the environment and in the city and in cities like ours nationally. And we expect this to be the same. We expect it to draw increased investment into the area, but certainly to be much used by our people. It's very difficult for many of our people to drive from our city to a water park, to drive a 2.5 hour of the expense, etc. So we feel that in the heart of the city, to have South Africa's main, and the research again shows that should the city built, it would outstrip all of the other struggles and other attractions in South Africa in terms of visitor numbers by year two or three. So the plan is essentially that combined with the water park and the heritage, the grounds, other amenities such as a formal market. The formal market is aimed to address SMEs and youth again. There are many SMEs who are very creative people who can't afford malls and the rent in malls. So we're creating a space there. And you'll see later on that there are other recreational activities, as I said, such as sites in the eco-tournament and others. But the main emphasis is the heritage, and it is meant to be a place of entertainment, education, and interpretation. Mr. Chairperson, we come to you as the department because in 2012, at the portfolio committee, in 2012 the department also, at the launch of the National Heritage and Culture Tourism Strategy, dedicated or pledged startup funding to this initiative of 20 million rand. And we haven't as yet received that because at the time we didn't have the land and had not secured the land. We now have secured the land, and our aim is to engage with the department again. We hope to meet with DG for them to release that startup funding, because we see the 20th anniversary of democracy as a potential moment in time to break ground on this project. as I said, we see it not just as heritage, but as heritage tourism and a dynamic, globally competitive heritage tourism destination that speaks to the soul of the people of South Africa. There are many visitors who come and say, we've done the safari, we've seen the Table Mountain, we've done all of that, but we still don't know you. And this is for them, but it's also domestic tourism. And I believe that's what first inspired the department, was the fact that they recognized that domestic tourism was on the increase. There's a hunger amongst our people to know their history. And their feeling, as well as ours, was that this was the great way of enhancing the whole domestic tourism experience. The National Heritage Monument is part of the Liberation Heritage, and so it's also, in our view and in the view of that, the pinnacle of the National Liberation Heritage route, which spread all over the country. But this would be a centre. And from here, if you're interested in Juba, we'll send you to Australia, we'll send you to other parts of the country where you can find other interpretive experiences. So it's really a hub, and we hope a centre of excellence in both culture, in history, in nature, in recreational activities, even to experience the different foods of South Africa, because in that craft market, we'll have, again for SMEs, small, not restaurants, but their food outlets, where a mother and her family can come with their pots. They have a small back kitchen, no need to run the big restaurant. They have a small back kitchen and a counter. And that allows the tourists to walk along and eat African food, avocado food, South African Indian food, South African Chinese food, etc. And get a sense, in a cheap way, of what our national food is about. So it's all encompassing. But the main thing is we really believe this will be a generator of jobs, labor-intensive jobs. It will do that in various ways, but most of those ways are sustainable in terms of guides, in terms of lifeguards, in terms of all kinds of activities that will take place at that park. And that it will enhance South Africa as a tourist destination for people internationally. We need something that is big and audacious, and yet which is relevant, because it speaks of our struggle and of our long journey, where we came from, how we came to be who we are today, and those who contributed to that journey, many of whom are forgotten, and our aim is to bring them back into public memory, but also to entertain the public. That's pretty much the chairman completes that aspect of our presentation. It does fall into outcome 12 and outcome 4 of government priorities, and it is supported by the presidency, the Department of Arts and Culture, the City of Shwane, and we hope by yourself. The funding of this, the resources of this, if it is to happen, will require from the Department of Tourism annual funding over a 5-year period, annual funding contribution over a 5-year period. And we do have a commitment from the Department of Arts and Culture to put in serious funding. The project is supposed to be going to Cabinet in the near future. And our belief is that the Department of Communications, the Department of Public Works, the Department of Arts and Culture, and the Department of Tourism should be part of a steering committee, because we believe that this will eventually become a major tourist destination, and we would like you to have been part of creating it and giving it your guidance and wisdom. That would be, we hope, to your recommendation to the department that they should come financially engaged in this. Many heritage projects start with good intentions but a poorly resourced and as a result fail. And we believe this is a very important heritage product and tourism product for social cohesion. Whether you are white or black, it is important that you walk along this long march street and that you visit this place and understand the history of your people. The last thing I would say, Mr. Chairman, is that the statues themselves will be representative of all kinds of formations as long as they were anti-colonial, anti-apartheid. And so people from Stephen Bezos to Bookware to Black Flash to Helen Susan, all kinds of people will be represented in this lineup. We're not changing history, so the majority of people are obvious, but we are ensuring that it is socially cohesive and is not a party political lineup or icon that is representative of all three colours and is as gender popular as South Africa and is visited by much. That's the first comment that I wanted to know this myself. I should answer questions and answers now on that particular question on the national
page. I think we should continue, because what is left is whether we support the project or not, and then whether we have concerns or not, and so forth, all around the project. So let us note concerns if we are having, and note our positions, but allow Mr. Tambo to go on. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the second project that I'd like to bring to your attention is a little bit fresher. The National Health Insurance, like I said, we've been on for 3.5 or 4 years. This is called currently as a working title, the Lynn Heritage Carnival Parade. You're about this Cape Town to have your own Cape Town Carnival this weekend, I believe. They had the Crew Carnival earlier on in the year. And around this time of year, or later of the year, in Johannesburg, there is normally a small carnival called the Gauteng Johannesburg Carnival. This project is called the Lynn Heritage Carnival Parade, and at its essence is the desire to take the people of South Africa. Most carnival countries, like Brazil, have one culture, one language, one form of music, and are very cohesive anyway. We are a multicultural society, and in this 20th year of democracy, we feel that there should be a heritage tourism product, a carnival, which allows our people to celebrate as one their individual cultures and heritage. If one were to look at a country like the United States, on certain days in February, they have a St. Patrick's Day parade. The Irish Americans come out to the port, and what they express is their pride in being Irish and their pride in being American. We have a country with so many nations within our nation, and our desire is to have a carnival parade, a unique one, wherein, as you walk along, and as this carnival passes you, what you see is folks carrying, for example, Zulu. And on the boat are their icons, Zulu, Zulu, Tswayo, etc. Followed by your normal carnival-esque costume, and then Zulu's in traditional, authentic costume, followed by Portuguese followed by Portuguese, followed by Swana, followed by Greek South Africans, followed by Chinese South Africans, followed by Indian South Africans, followed by Kwabras, followed by Ndebeles, etc., etc. So that what we're doing is we're saying to all these things, you have your own pride, you came to this country in different ways, and are part of our national experience and part of our people. This is a carnival that allows us all to celebrate our individual culture, but as our Africans. It is the epitome of a demonstration of social cohesion, and it is what the Constitution calls for, the celebration of our cultural diversity. What has happened in the past is that it has not had a single route that was repeated. It's been in Sandton 1 year, in Soweto the next year, etc. What we would like to do, and particularly this year, the 20th year of democracy, is create an annual carnival which will, in 2 to 3 years, compete with things like Rio, where we celebrate our cultural diversity. And we've already started talking to different communities so that the Hellenic, Portuguese, Greek, and Italian societies have already expressed their desire to be part of it, their ability to build their businessmen, to raise funds for costumes, their ability to go into their communities and say, bring our food to this thing. We want to create a panel that is for domestic people and for international tourists, and with Celebrate, the community gives you an understanding as an observer that South Africa has all these communities, that they are equally valued, and that we are a country engaging in social cohesion, but in a celebratory way. The other thing about the current carnival is it is, of course, underfunded, and it has no space. It has no productive capacity that is enjoying. So after each year, the costumes are shut. A few of them are stored in very bad conditions, and there's no continuity. What this really calls for is a manufacturing hub where, again, SMEs and youth are employed in different provinces around the country in producing their own traditional wares and products, and in the production are learning. A stable and current end point where people can gather with sponsored tents or with their own cultural food and other entertainment, and really gather as a festival of culture. And so it's something which we have engaged with the Gauteng Heritage Tourism people. We have engaged with the city of Schwein. We are in the process of engaging with the Department of Arts and Culture. But generally, it's got very good support. Our challenge is that we believe that this year, the 20th anniversary of democracy, is the year in which we should launch it. And we have enough time to launch it in September this year and to organize, as I say, the different communities. We're not starting from scratch because there is already a seabed, as I say, of the Joker Carnival. The point of it is, it is a strong enough initiative to engender the support of the committee and of government. If social cohesion and the expression of social cohesion, the expression of our multiculturalism and our freedom, our new South African identity, an important thing to project in the term of the 20th anniversary of democracy. So to sum up on that one, it is a carnival parade. It involves big floats. It's a Portuguese float. They'll have Almigo and Saldana and Laz on it, and they'll be followed by Portuguese people in costume and Greeks and Africanos and all kinds of people who are proud South Africans, but who also have their own glory heritage, which they will display on this occasion. And it is something which is enjoyed, televised, the whole nation, locked up those streets of Schwein, enjoy it. And we believe that it will be a significant annual tourist initiative, job creation, and something which again serves to people in an internet age. That's the time I feel to start up, because that's when they're holding this equipment. We've seen from carnivals in other countries, not in Europe, that they do generate people tourist from them, and yet also act from a societal perspective to the betterment of society, of nation building, of the region, and the social cohesion. So we would ask for your support on that, because we believe it fits into your strategies in terms of your tourism strategies. And your most recent 2012 National Heritage and Cultural Tourism Strategy. It brings in local communities, it brings in the youth, it brings in the different cultures of our country, and it has it all, not in a lecture, but in a celebration of dance and performance, and to the glory of our tourism. It celebrates one nation, the United States of America. And that really, Mr. Chairperson, is all of that. You have a document by us in the DVD, and so because it's short of the time and my desire to allow us to have a question, I'd like to leave it there. The third project, really I'm just going to mention in passing, which is that tourism is hard in rural areas. And so we've been looking for initiatives which would enhance tourism for rural areas. And obviously one of the great resources we have as countries is our history. And the many battles that were fought during our history. When I was in the United States many years ago, I went to Kentucky at a time when they were holding a Civil War commemoration. And in this town, as you entered it, every policeman, every restaurant waiter was dressed in Civil War uniform. When we got to the battlefield, they had employed people to run stalls with food and memorabilia and costumes, and all kinds of things were on sale for tourists. But the essence of it was that they were bringing thousands of people together in costume to reenact moments in their history and glorious moments in their history. The idea of the Atelier is to really try to change, to go to the rural area, and we are engaged with authorities in Dublin and Italy, in the UK, go to a rural area, get the buy-in of the municipality, and once a year, over weekends, to hold these commemorative battle reenactments. It involves black and white, it involves making costumes throughout the year, it involves interpretation and history. It means that in that small rural area, there will be production of male and female costumes and all kinds of artifacts that were used by the people of that time. It's a cultural experience. In the even in the United States, at lunchtime, when the battle is over and they prepare for the second battle of the day, the tourists go and sit with the soldiers and are told stories, look at rituals of what the warriors would do, of how they were tended to by their support people, etc., etc. And generally get a sense of the cultural aspect, not just the battle. When we were doing history of the ANC, we actually gathered about 40 of our horsemen. We were in touch with some battles of the 100 wars in Britain. About 40 of our horsemen and about 400 young people who we dressed up. We got some students from a local university to dress them up over a couple of times, and we held them up battle. The whole of the local villages came to watch, and the cheers when they saw 40 horsemen charging across the field was really stunning and emotional, because it, they had never seen it before. And yet, as we were saying then, if you look at history books, after Hinsdale Hill, when they went to negotiate with Macdonald, they say that they found him with 400 armed horsemen surrounded him, and 3,000 others on foot on the hill behind him. So it's about really saying, what is my history? Was I always on the beaten side? Or did my ancestors actually fight with determination, ferocity, for generations? And the Hundred Years' War was the longest anti-colonial war in history. So it's about bringing that back, but also bringing the fullest product to that rural area that says, with the local operators, tour operators, the municipalities, etc., we will over the weekend bring economic development and education, but education with recreation, and create something which has value in many, many different ways. So that's just a summary of that, Mr. Chairman. It's really just to say that this is the business we're in. We believe we can do this kind of thing, and we believe that our company and our efforts fall in line with all your strategies in terms of heritage tourism, pro-poor tourism, sustainable tourism, and tourism which enhances our Africa as a Western.
Thank you very much, Mr. Campbell. Mr. Shah, and then Mr. Mamunjo, and then Mr. Faro, then Mampam Mungwai. In that order.
Thank you, Chair Patton. I must admit that I'm quite excited by, after listening to the presentation, by the value of your products, the three products that we just could lend to the promotion of tourism, tourism sector in general, and also creation of job opportunities and finding opportunity as well as showcasing our culture, speech, tradition, multicultural society and contribution. But that project could be to our social cohesion. So that is my introductory remarks to the question. I think we require them that you have the heritage component, which is supported by Jim Jones, and the project involves following entities. One of them will be NHM, which is a particular one company. And then you say that it will be under the custodianship of the Department of Arts and Culture, and then we see the involvement of the city of Chuane, and in terms of funding, we note your request that the Department of Tourism would be required to make some kind of financial contribution. Then we hear that you have three projects, one of which is the heritage component, which is being driven by the NHM, of which you are the CEO. Then you have the other two projects, which is under sector growth. So I'm trying to understand the both of you, because you are the CEO, or is there any other significant distinguishing feature? One seems to be more construction and planning, and the other is slightly different. Perhaps you shed some light on that. The question, I think the crucial question is that ultimately, who will manage and be, you know, mandated to handle the day-to-day operations, and who will be held, you know, accountable? Would the entity that will be actually reporting in terms of oversight, and who will they be reporting? So that's one crucial question. And then you have the theme park, which is a huge undertaking, sounds very exciting. However, you need water. So what will be the source of that water? What guarantees do you have? So if you can, you know, invest millions in a theme park, and then all of a sudden you have a dispute in terms of water supply, you have a problem. Thirdly, and this is my last question, what is the status of the environmental impact assessment in terms of this particular project? What will be the role of the what is the role of NHM post-development of this huge entity? The post-development involvement of NHM. I mean, where do you start here now? Where do you end? What's your post-development involvement?
Thank you. Yes, I can hear you.
I'm decided to go for the next one of the email. So just in that 4 weeks of March. But once we have the voices,
Mr. Father, then Mr. Mom White.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Mr. Humble, for a very insightful presentation on something that I think that we are really insight into. I think I mentioned earlier to you to all events that again, it's all the part of that Long Walk to Freedom and the life-size heritage monument. In fact, we have some of the members riding a whole party. But it's very commendable, and I think that one would like to see the end of that in a permanent display. And I think you're very fortunate to get access to the park. The worries I have, though, is that because of the multi-faceted approach that one would have to the project, the actual compartment size of the actual budgetary needs needs to be very clearly identified. You really want arts and culture, for instance, that are providing, I assume, a certain amount of funding for the monuments to be built. Then we go into another issue then, immediately, which my colleague touched on, and that is the most deliberating and delaying aspect of any development in this country, and that relates purely to the environmental impact assessment, which require a certain amount of long-winded, you know, sort of public experience and objections to be raised, etc. And my feeling is that if you are looking to try and see these projects reaching finality by the 24th of September, which I think is linked to Heritage Day, but certainly get going or to go first or something, one is going to have difficulty because I've been in this process of Parliament in terms of this monetary process for 15 years. And the medium-term expenditure framework is linked to a three-year cycle which needs to be built into that so that you will then automatically start tapping into it, and you talk about the cycle that you've already been a part of the project. So I think we need to just have some clarity as to where you're going to slot the funding in and what exactly, in terms of this portfolio's role, would be your bit to it in the bigger components of the system, you know, so that we can know what we're fighting for. I mean, I can't go and fight on your behalf of the Austin Potters or the Stani Municipality or even for that matter the provincial government of Kateni, etc., etc. And this is the complexities of how budgets work and, you know, the devolving of it down to certain particular departments and what have you. Then there is a stakeholder, which you quite rightly mentioned, and that's the private sector in terms of their commission. So there's a whole lot of multifaceted components of financing, which I think we need to get
some sort of clarity on, and I assume that's in your business plan somewhere. The other side thing, which I see in terms of the accessibility of that piece of land, is the proximity to the other very important things like the first river boundary that the South will be used, the Upper will be used in there, and other things, which I think is nice. And my question to you would also be, have you liaised with in terms of integrating and connectivity with it, so people, when they come to see one, they can go to another? We have got, in many instances, you talk about the Robben Island, the Table Mountain, and we heard it from the Minister here in the Western Cape, the status that's developed very quickly, we're reaching capacity. We can't get to see like a mountain enough, we can't get people to Robben Island. And we need to redirect. And that redirection needs to have some, you know, catalyst or some attraction that's going to say, oh, why don't you go to Swanee as well, including in your tourism? There's this wonderful place to go there. And we need to try and get those sort of, what I call those little key projects going. I have one concern in here as a source of funding, and that is the use of the extended public works program. We have, as a committee, experienced some serious misgivings that we have about in terms of A, the control mechanisms, the management mechanisms, if it's the dog arm to implementing aids and spreading that they're actually doing what they should be doing in terms of that. And, you know, we've had bad experience there. And on the other hand, whether it's been managed properly, we've had good experience. So, you know, whether that is the right route to look at financing some of your work opportunities and getting skills developed, I personally feel that you're walking in the wrong area there. And you might find also that there could be some resistance to that in terms of, you know, what people have had there. It's good for a rural area, but for a city, I would think you need to start looking at permanent jobs there which are going to be skilled up sufficiently to be there for the rest of their time. So those are my concerns. The whole aspect of the carnival, well, again, we have the Coon Carnival there. I'm not sure exactly how it's funded. Maybe some of the departmental. I think the city goes in and then the province goes in and there's maybe just a dollar or something from on the top. But we need to get that model out. I see, because this is great. I mean, you know, we can get that way in Johannesburg, it should be beautiful. So I think I'll leave it there, you know, just to put in maybe some potential, you don't have to ask me, you need to think about them. But maybe just to get into our minds, what are we talking about money-wise from here? You know, this department or tourism in terms of, you know, being able to push the envelope. That's it.
My colleagues have addressed the financial, I mean the budgetary concerns are also here. But on the flip of the coin, would the flood of people going to sustain the project? You know, the insight is quite good, but I'm afraid of trusting it will be sustainable over the long term. These are real colossal projects. They need income generation and sustainability. In the interest of time, this is the look to the second piece of research about the time. I was getting worried when you were presenting this and staging it in South Wales, Israel, in your rural aspect. I was
subscribe to a discussion to say, this is very discriminatory against going to this place which is just for 50 people. And I was going to ask if it was not going to be, you would not be think of rotating it to the property so that the people could actually express and have a calendar slotted for this event in a particular time and space in South Africa, so that when people are practicing the stories of visit or journey or itinerary, then they can improve that during that season. And I'm the third process, and also sharing the strategy of the enactment. I think perhaps maybe some forerunner of the project might be late, or some kind of preparation be done so that it does not enter inside to the and become one of those potential project, and you end up now creating a real benefit field. Now, these are all good educational outlets as well as educational outlets. But again, the sensitivity we have got to quite quite cognizant of that.
Thank you. Thank you. Come together, then we are the last.
It has been good listening to the presenter, and it's good meeting with them. And I think we feel very much honored to meet you. Maybe, Captain, you know, one will ask a question that has been asked. The only thing is just that the name that we ask in different ways. I heard two departments were mentioned, Department of Agriculture and Tourism. So my interest, I just want to know how today is when it comes to funding the project.
Thank you.
And I'm putting you. My colleague said she feels people should be prepared somehow. And I have had two things that she said whatever. Anyway, what I'm saying, how are the celebrations going to be conducted? Is it individually, or it will be just that Indian buildings remain them together in one day for what? I'm not just here when it comes to that one, when they will be having their options remainder. And one other thing, I heard the presenter say there will be different kinds of issues that will be served. But they will be so. Of which I am getting excited that that would be somehow creating jobs for people might within the media. Because they will be the people preparing those issues. And
Okay.
I could
Thank you. 1 minute, please.
What I forgot to ask was the criteria of selection in your question, the criteria of selection of the law structure. What kind of
take it in just before she leaves, because there are so many people that can participate in the liberation struggle. So I see only, you know, and I wonder if the space you have, you know, space for all the people that participate.
Okay, thank you. Just before you answer, Mr. Tambo, let us just clarify a few things. The issue of a feasibility study. According to the department, this was done for Nazareth and not this place. Perhaps this is if you can take us through that one as well. And then the issue of the stakeholder engagement that you have gone into. Thanks.
May I start from the back?
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you.
In terms of the feasibility plan, we're quite ready. In terms of the feasibility, you're quite correct. Mount Thornton did that one, which is a fun one. And what we had to do when we moved from Nazareth to Sample Silence was to get Mount Thornton to do an update, which now looks at that move and the consequences, whether it would be therefore more feasible in the new location. And so there's an updated which is all about Swanwick and about the recreational area of Sandton. And so all those facts and things relate now to that, not to that. In terms of the stakeholders, from the outset, it has been the presidency which gave us first his advisor and then his project advisor, Len Ashimini. It has been the Department of Arts and Culture who, as early as 2012, has endorsed the project and has to date put in about 28 million grand into this project. It has been the National Lottery who put in the initial seed funding, 14 million, and have granted another 14 million. And it has been the city of Schwanek, really. We haven't engaged that much as yet with the project, but the mayoral committee of city of Schwanek passed a resolution and confirming the transfer of the land to the department for these purposes, and also some government debt support and intention to get involved on a budgetary level at some point. We've also had engagement with the Department of Public Works in terms of fog infrastructure and access to fog infrastructure and the coordination of the National Heritage Monument with some buildings that are going to be put in the government those are the stakeholders that we've engaged with up there. We've also had discussions with the private sector fund of investor, banks with groups such as Shogo Fund, and those are all continuing. There is a belief amongst the private sector that there is a role for them to play, and especially given the fact that the Department of Arts and Culture are only interested in funding the heritage assets. We have come to you about it with the tourism enhancement assets, which are the visitor centre, the water park, the gardens as whole, the park and park market, things like the rollerblading site, and things like this, which are all intended to bring the public to the site and to allow a variety of activities to take place. So we're really coming to yourselves on those tourism enhancement opportunities that exist. And because we believe that this is going to make a serious contribution to regional and national tourism. The question before that related to the funding, or let me start with, funding in terms of how we would be funded going forward, I believe, the question. Our expectation, Mr. Chairman, is that this is an arts and culture project, but that it is tourism as well, that it has significant communicative aspects to it. And so we want the Department of Communication to say the book, the access to information, the impact, all of those things for the first that is needed, that each and every statute is quite serious, and we want to be a centre of excellence in terms of a resource of knowledge. So we want the Department of Communication to say, can you deal with the communication side? We're asking the Department of Arts and Culture to deal with the arts and culture side. We're asking tourism to deal with capacity and public works and cities to help us with everything from traffic management to security all those other aspects of the infrastructure. So our enthusiasm for the Department of State of Cabinet was, and we say so in our contribution to their MAPDOWN document, our enthusiasm was that if you look at the multi departmental initiative, and even on a funded side, something that requires that departmental perspective. There are other alternatives to share that. There is a casino license in Schwanen, and I believe it's owned by some of that one there, the right to move it to Mellon Park. There have been major complications in doing that because of the Emerald casino projection. You have to pass, get the Emerald, you have to pass that may go on for many years. And as before, with the apartheid in Berlin, which had 7,000 visitors a day during the Soccer World Cup, no one connects the casino there with the apartheid in Berlin, but that casino can pay for everything and put the same that brings a heritage to the village of apartheid in Berlin. So there are options in terms of funding, but we believe that heritage should be funded by the state. On behalf of and should necessarily have to make money, but we also are looking to the water park and the attraction of many feet on the ground to subsidize for the state the ongoing cost of the development. Then when you spoke about the carnival, the idea is really that at the end point everyone would get together and you would have a festival of South African identity. During the actual profession, what it is individual folks glorifying the history of that group, of that social group, behind which are people in carnivalesque interpretation of their traditional dress, behind which are people in their actual traditional dress. So when we spoke to Portuguese in the deep South African society, their delight was that their children and others are going to be making these costumes. And having to learn, this is where you came from, this is how you came to South Africa, this is what you wore in your home country, this is what you went to Africa, this is your South African Portuguese identity. When we went to the Indian and Chinese Association, they had their own memory of the community. So many of the costumes are already there, many of the performance groups are already there, and again, they will add a really beautiful aspect to our national culture in the parade. But importantly, it also signifies to them and their young people, I am an important part of this country. And we all know, Chairperson, that recently there has been an initiative on behalf of government that says that many of these memorable occasions turn out to be either AFC occasions or academic occasions. This is a way to celebrate our national multicultural society where each culture feels I have my part of it. I may have come as a Lithuanian Jew, fleeing something else, and they've come as an inventive worker, and now they're in Chinatown, but I'm South African, and this is the way to. And then in terms of food, stalls, costumes, it doesn't involve a lot of effort and youth enjoyment. And that's one of the glories of it, is that it brings in the community and brings an internal structure into paid work, labor intensive, that is stable because it happens every year. And you asked about the criteria of election. The criteria of election in terms of which year is there. There are a certain number in each era who are so obviously jump out of the page. So in whole broad section of the thing, and we went to different professors at this and different parts of the country of political historians, and asked them to draw up a list of nominations. And that was intended, the brief was that it should cover all parts of the country, all eras, and that it should cover many of the different fields of the field. So, for example, if you look at our early figures, along with Dinwiddie, we have Canemba and Harriet Canemba, along with Gandhi, we have Naika and Naili and Oja Ali, etc. So we are covering the whole country, but because it's a party of only 500 invited, you're quite correct in the political balance that has to be drawn between them and then the dean of the different provinces and the trade unions on the other side. So we're treading very carefully, going era by era. We're using as our main base this group of historians, and then there will be consultations with, for example, the BAC to say who out of your icons do you feel should be and with the other groups to ask them in corporate to tell us who we left out. On a provincial level, it's also important that we grab as much consultation as possible, because whilst there are three books, may be concerned with people, when you go to those communities, they have many other names that they feel were iconic. But it is the nature of things that there will only be commissions of 500. It doesn't mean at the end, it just means that somebody other than Daddy will have to add nothing in time to come. And it also leaves space for people to add in the future, because the founding fathers of the democracy will also have their faces in history. In terms of business numbers, our business plan says that at the water park we can expect about 30,000 per day in PC. We've done a lot of research with other water parks and different places in the marine world where they live 10,000 to 12,000 a day in PC. It's a much smaller water park and therefore doesn't have the same capacity. In terms of the actual heritage side, if anyone gets us, our expectation is that it will go into the thousands today, and again, the business plan that alludes to when that might happen, maybe a few, maybe a few. But the point is how you mark the place and how you are assisted, either logistics, the easy rail, easy transport, decent price, or reasonable price to get into, and whether there's a social consciousness. So that drives you if you are from the entertainment aspect that says I want to go and see my history, I want to go and see my ancestors, I want to see what Charlotte can look like, not just hear the name. And we are the best for that, it's a type of serious African authority for that position, and tell it to me that haven't been formed before. So it's really about whether the province, the city, and other stakeholders assist us in marketing the history of the city of South Africa to the people of South Africa. What we will do on our part is having tourist enhancing assets which are to draw a lot of other people in. Freedom Park of 150 years. And the physical numbers are very bad, but it's in a sense one dimension. This combines art, nature, recreation, interpretive centers, etc. And our expectation, again, backed up by business plan, is that it will be the most beautiful thing that happens in the world. In terms of the provinces and the carnival, most carnivals that are special in the world are in one place every year on one week, and that allows the commercialization of commodified things of that carnival. Its reliability will always be in one place. And that works for the Rio, for the Notting Hill Carnival, etc. Where in Notting Hill they have two seasons and they're a weekend physically. So you have to have the preparation for traffic management for all kinds of public facilities, like you looking at, etc. Kids, you can, all of those things mean that in terms of economies of scale, market, that's a cheaper and more commercially viable to do the kind of one place each year. But the processes are involved in this because this will be the only time in the world where the people of that country gather in their traditional cultural paraphernalia and celebrate that multiculturalism in the late 1970s. So the process will be there. Once this is signed off as a project, it will then be for the provinces, for example, KwaZulu-Natal, to say we will assist with our Zulu population and our Indian population, etc. For Limpopo, to say we will assist with our vendor, our area, etc. And in assisting, we will create manufacturing hubs, as already existing some cities, in those provinces. And therefore, you are being able to join us in that province. And your bucket people from that project, because the idea is that it should be authentic culture, it should be genuine culture, not fake.
We have to do it in a minute.
In terms of the budget for the, I think I dealt with the budget, but we do see it as something which is multi-departmental and which would then also attract foreign investors and try to think that everybody is ready to do the government giving first. It is a phased approach, and so over those 5 years, this is something which we'll be building as we go along. The idea is to start from very ground this year, but not to, we expect to open in about 2 years, and by then we expect to have about 200 cultures, the park which goes with walk down, and the visitor centre complete. It will also be mainly applying for the water park and park services, and the construction of the water park. In terms of the proximity to other heritage, it's true that the city and ourselves have looked at that, but there would be season tickets which would take you through Portland, through Freedom Park and on to us, or starting with us and then taking you on to Portland, Freedom Park, and Freedom Park, etc. So we do see it as a serious heritage hub, which should really attract quite a few people, because within those few hours, they can touch on all aspects of our history. Already, Fort Schleffer is a very popular tourist destination, popular in that area. And so a lot of that scene, we think, will come our way through and vice versa. But the idea will be in terms of how to use the bus, have a bus service, the national bus. I hear you there on the Extended Public Works Program, and we'll check that out with you. At least we're also looking at how it can, the modality of how that can happen. With regard to the fund and model for the carnival, there is interest from the province in putting in some budget. And we're currently talking to the Department of Agriculture. We're not expecting at this time of year much stronger. We do see it as something which is a tourism, a rich tourism product. And we do see it as having massive societal benefits. And so we are also going to be speaking to everyone from media play to private sector, but we see this as the epitome of our social values, and we believe we're actually investing need in social values. So our hope is that tourism, partners of tourism, would make some contribution because it will inspire domestic tourism, it will inspire international tourism. And it would be great for the branding and the image of South Africa, for people on the news in America and in Great Britain to see us in our formation, but united in our diversity. It would really send a wonderful message. And as an annual event, I believe, we'll be on the calendar of many tourist races coming here for next September. I think that's going to be. And then, regard to the reenactment, I do hear more sensitivity, and we are addressing that. One of the things that may not have worked is that it must be so were we to reenact, as I have to the film by Freeman, the Durango uprising, what happened there was that people got carried away, they had polystyrene bricks, those kinds of all. But when they got carried away, they started throwing steel bricks at the white guy acting as soldiers. White guy back as soldiers didn't have your bullets, but they had real it really is a cultural setting,
yeah,
which has at its heart this battle. But when that time comes, they will see these legends white soldiers in their red coats, eaten and drinking and etc. And it is also about culture and society, that you are aiming to represent the culture of both sides, not just our side. And so in the interpretation, through the loudspeakers and gorgeous, what you have is that explanation of that puts it in some of your things. So as I say, it is ancient history, so what really takes you is the pageantry, the culture, the drama, while it's fun. And it's people laughing and enjoying and dancing and doing all kinds of things, as well as pretending to be.
Thank you. We've got to stop now. It's quite exciting and indeed, but I think we've got to stop here and thank you very much, Mr. Tambo, for an exciting presentation. But we've got to attend to other aspects of the program, and unfortunately, it's a pity that the DG is not here. But the DG said apparently is out of the country. But the department knew that this will happen. But I do not know why the DPGs or perhaps directors did not attend. But despite the fact perhaps, that they initially funded the project, but I think that has got to be to be worked out through the stakeholder interaction as we move on. But this is a bold and bright initiative. I think we all agree with that. And then I think we all agree with the fact that we support the project.
Yep.
And then it's only perhaps the issues of EIAs which have no, I do not know whether they have been addressed or not.
Yes.
With the EIA, a big yeah, a game reserve and okay, thank you very much. But I think every member of the committee wishes you all the best, because we regard it as quite bold as the Minister of Finance or Treasury said that South Africa needs bold initiatives now, and in order to go forward. And if we do not take bold initiatives, we are not going to succeed. And it is very, very important for us as a committee to state that we do support this initiative, and then we do support the department in the steps they have taken, and we are going to continue to support the department in as far as is moving this project forward in different sense. But unfortunately, we are at the end of this term. But as part of our legacy, I think it is going to be a record that we support the initiatives that you have taken. Both for, I'll just give 30 seconds at the end. Well, both for our nation building, it is very, very important at this stage. And then national cohesion. We do not want to end up with tribalism. We do not want to end up with racism. We do not want to end up with chauvinism that is going to waste the energy of the country instead of building our country and building a strong South Africa behind the National Development Plan. Your last two words, Mr. Tambo,
and it's really just to thank you, Mr. President, and all the members of the committee for allowing me the opportunity to take you through these plans. They do need support, and the greatest way in which you can support us is to speak to the department about the shame, about money. for the project to be prioritized and for there to be a synergy of the way in which the Department of Arts and Culture and NDC and join to create this product. It won't be owned by us, it will actually be owned by the nation of the heritage and under the custodianship of that. But we hope it's a proud product of the Department of Tourism and a product which has a new form for us that is socially relevant to our history and which speaks to who we are as people. So a product that involves all our ancestors or a large majority of them, we feel should be prioritized. We feel if we are going to go to the ends of the earth for one product, because we love them so much, what about 500 who we also love so much and who gave us what we have today? So it would be, I think, a national shame if we didn't support this project and find ways and modalities of unlocking treasury funds and departmental funds to make this a reality.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tambo, for a very, very professional input. But I think as a nation, we need a 9% growth, and we need bold research and well-resourced initiatives in order to realize that type of growth. Thank you very much. So let us have 5 minutes and then go on our program. Your quarter past 12 is, let us just go and sit here and come in. This is a big but if it's something, this is going to have an impact,
Democracy. Yeah.
Now, because there was a lot of racism.
So it's exactly very bold. And for me, as the thing to come in for it. You read a lot of money for sale on the city that we look at. You can read the amount of this thing really so bad. You can read the rest of my discussion.
Put the sanctuary here on the village and enjoy, man.
If you don't behave, you just...
You don't have to
Are you coming
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we shall have to continue. Before we consider the minutes, we'll have to have a quorum. But let us just discuss. Okay. Let's go on with our meeting, huh? I know it has been exciting and bold, but let's go on with the next item of our agenda. The next item of our agenda is the consideration of minutes, adoption of reports and minutes. Firstly, let us look at the minutes. I've looked at all the three sets of minutes, and I did not have any problem with any one of them. Except for perhaps at attendance, I do not know what attendance was there. And then there have been a few corrections for spelling or typos, which really the secretariat is going to attend to. I'm just looking for my file. This is over 5. I have 2 sets of... Okay, let us consider the minutes of the 8th of the 5th of November. Here I expect each and every member to have read the minutes, to have checked, and then I expect a proposal or just a correction. In reading the minutes, there were not more than 5 things that needed to be corrected.
I remember.
But otherwise, I also within
the Ibrah. Well, there are very, very few distinct errors. It's only typos as well. I don't think it's the affects one. But is there any The proposal was from Mr. Horai to Ouattara, seconded by Mr. Farrell. So are we having a quorum?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So that is the 5th of November. Then we go to the 28th of January. And this last meeting of our committee in this parliament. Right, attendance is fine. Okay, Mr. Shah proposed, seconded by Mr. Farai. Then we go to the minutes of the 18th of February. That is the issue of the State of the Nation address, and then tabling of the draft committee legacy report and consideration and adoption of minutes. We did not consider, or we considered, we deferred the minutes we discussed. So, yeah, really, it's the meeting that really did not happen. You remember, we said that we cannot analyze the State of the Nation address because it was just a historical review. The State of the Nation address to talk about the future mainly, and that is going to happen after election. Right? So that is what we agreed on. Move, Mr. Farrell, second. Then we go to the issue Portfolio Committee on Tourism Legacy Report May. The legacy report May 2009 and up to March 2014. I think here around the area of absence, I do not know whether we need to mention the trends around Mpumalanga in increasing crime levels, attack on tourists. But if we, it was just there for, I thought about it when I read about it, whether we should include this because we are going to have a new committee next time, or we should not. But to remember, when they attacked tourists in two successive weeks last year, but recently also there has been something that has happened as well around Kruger and Easter Park. So I do not know whether we need to flag that there should, attention should be paid to the impact of generally speaking, but particularly around Kruger National Park, because it could be banned. In Mozambique, it's poaching, but also remember around Mozambique, and Mozambique is beginning to have signs of civil war again. People may be committing crimes to get money to go on with the war side of the of them. So really, it's not significant at this stage, but there are signs that if things get worse, perhaps it could escalate and create crime this side of the border. So just flag the issue of crime around this thing, so that the secretariat could remind the people that we reflect in that area.
It's important since we already had a table of documents that we treat these as individuals rather than sort of insertions. I don't know, but otherwise we're going to have to reprint. And I would, there's nothing wrong with that. You just put an addendum at the back, as of the report for today, meeting supports to detach, I suggest that to Jerry, because I've already effectively handed this over, the legal party to the Jerry, which will give it to the report. So if we could just have them in that format, I think
it's important. Okay, there is a proposal that we adopt it, but some of the things that we add as addendum. I think I agree with that, but on page there are corrections that are supposed to be made, like page 3, the sentence, the beginning of term of the outgoing 4th president, and so forth. That sentence has got to be read closely, and then we've got to get what exactly you want to mean there.
Franchise?
There is this second packet from the second standing.
Okay.
The beginning of term of the outgoing fourth parliament coincided with the birth of this new department. As envisaged in this realignment, the Portfolio Committee on Tourism has ensured growth of the tourism industry over the past 5 years. So the Portfolio Committee cannot ensure growth of tourism. Overseas, okay, oversight. So that means correct. Perhaps it could be added as part of the agenda. Then, in the fourth parliament, the government set 5 priorities that govern programs of all government departments. These priorities were to have a decent work and sustainable livelihoods. But it was also, in fact, it was accelerated an inclusive growth with decent work and sustainable livelihoods, or creating decent work and sustainable livelihoods. Then 9, now that one on the 9, the second paragraph, in ensuring coordinating collaboration amongst stakeholders, the committee convened 2 tourism summit events in 2011 and 2012. Perhaps the better term could be promoting rather than ensuring. You get my point?
Yes.
Then on page 21, here we're talking about that oversight that we had around the country and then in the border areas. And the concerns there were around really understaffing of the police and the Department of Customs duties. You remember that there were machines that were not operated, Lesotho, and then there were cars that were going over the border in Lesotho. But when we asked, we checked, we found that the number of police that were employed were quite below the staffing requirements that they had there, that had been approved for that thing. And then I do not know whether there has been an improvement here or there has not been an improvement. But I just hand that to the Secretariat, and then if perhaps you think that we can improve on that, okay, we should. Then page 35. Well, it's the time for airlift and cost flying. The fourth sentence there. The first word in the first paragraph, the paragraph under airlift and cost flying. It was observed, that is the last sentence, it was observed that flight costs to small towns, not tiny. And then under Indaba, the issue of the event, I think that sometimes this computer does not print these. This issue of having events instead of events happens from now and again, but that is a under 9, Indaba, the second sentence, the venue of Indaba was becoming constrained as the available space does not allow the event to grow bigger. And then the next sentence, the event was also dominated by exhibitions with limited conferences as side events, yeah. So there was a missing link there. Globally, other similar events at conferences, aside events, and Indaba was not improving on this, I think, or on that. It's not yet. Then the challenges emerging, the last the last standard is 37. The challenge with conducting study tours lies with the limited budget available to the committee to conduct as many benchmarking exercises as they would have wanted. Then the sentence, generally, Parliament does allow, actually does not allow support staff. Then the first sentence on page 38. Some benchmarking who could be achieved, which could be achieved by sending staff. Staff members alone was not possible, and this would have been achieved at a cheaper cost if support staff were able to go alone, that it ends there. But I feel that we cannot do that except with the approval of the committee, because the staff members would go on behalf of the committee. If we say we leave open-ended, you get my point.
Yeah.
We can't delay. So perhaps we should add with the approval of the portfolio committee, because they will be representing the committee anyway. You can't represent.
No one has people on holiday.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, you can't have the chairperson just going to committees without you knowing or without you approving, because now they go on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And the following paragraph, and then the last sentence, these are trade shows with international tourism conferences as side events. I think that WTM, except if it is a split somewhere, let us explain, well, tourism, world travel market, let us just in brackets put world travel market.
I agree.
Okay. Pardon?
And
it's
just abbreviation, list of abbreviation.
Okay. Or perhaps we can have a list of abbreviations at the back. Then that was 41. Then 41, you need, this was seen as a rubber stamping exercise that did not add value to the oversight work. Here it was around the issue of these treaties that are signed by cabinet and then they come here and then for approval. But I think that we need to apply our minds to that. Cabinet has a mandate to go and engage and sign treaties and so forth. And then we've got to revisit our constitution, because we do not have to grant ourselves rights that we are not having from the constitution, if you get what I mean. But I think there we need to know what the constitution says. Because if every treaty and every right were approved by us, things wouldn't be, before they were signed, things, some treaties would take a very long time to happen. And secondly, if now they were wrong, we would be part of the wrongdoing. We can't be a referee and a player. Mm-hmm. Let them play, and then if we rubber stamp, let us rubber stamp with reservations, or perhaps say that although perhaps it was necessary, but the view of the committee or whatever, they are not forced to agree to treaties. But we can say that we've got reservations around this and that. Let us allow ourselves that space. If we are saying that they shouldn't go without our approval, then it means that thereafter we do not have the leverage that the Constitution gives us. I don't know whether you get it. We do not have to accept everything. But now, the way of not accepting the treaty is not before the event. After the event, saying that we do not understand why we have this treaty and so forth and so forth. First, people could ask questions about some of the treaties that we have signed. But rather than saying that we've got to be there, you got to comment after the case. Rubber stamping is when we think that we don't have a right to say yes or no. We have a right to say no. So let us find wedding. This was seen as a rubber stamping exercise that did not add value to the oversight work of the committee. I think, let us say, we did not apply all the, or we seem not to be applying all options available or something. Do you get my point?
Yes. Yes.
Pardon? Or take it off.
Okay.
Before information. But in cases where we've got questions, we read questions as well. Then you see, for instance, there is an example of that. If you read the, I always favor numbering, because when you want to refer to something now, you can't say to the hyphen. But it's the second hyphen. In the case of Seychelles, the committee felt the country should have entered into an agreement with a neighboring country, as the health is far away, now that is far, for a marketing collaboration. You see, that is a concern. We made that concern, and it was correct to make concern. And instead of saying, no, we cannot go into an agreement for, we approve it. Okay, yeah, it was a concern that was expressed to the committee. And then, it's fine. And then, tourism is a concurrent functional area, this is number 10, of national government and provinces, and the committee is not obliged by constitution or legislation to enforce certain statutory intervenes. I think statutory interventions. But I fail to make full sense of that sentence as well. Number 10. Yeah, intervention, yes, no. Yeah, even if you make it interventions, what do we mean?
For example, you have like Section 100 for provinces where national can take over, for example, independent education and so on. So with the tourism, we don't have those.
Oh, okay.
So you can take over a particular province, or you cannot support a particular age.
Constitutional basis.
I think that it should remove committee and say, because it's not a committee, it's a
parliament. Then, there's a spelling. Should be, and that is the paragraph 12.2 in Romans, the third line from the bottom. Performance of the department against set targets and budget. And then secondly, at the end of the financial year, should be separate, yeah. We know that we put you under pressure, you had to do it in a short time, but we've got to correct it. Then page 42B, challenges emerging, technical operational challenges. The technical challenges with the BRR process is that recommendations made are not always addressed by responsible authorities. Then, 44. 44, that is 14.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You've got to listen to people you represent. Yeah, we received the estate on some of them.
Yeah, and when you have public hearings, people have a right to come and complain. So if they complain with an authority, you can't complain, and it's public hearing.
But it's not to reword that, it's a very good point.
Hey, thank you.
What
a blunder that was.
Then 14.1.1.1. Yeah, in fact, 14.1 is the first paragraph. It's a question of understanding the preference indeed. There is the last three words are exceptions in previously disadvantaged communities. I prefer to use historically advantaged. The disadvantaged communities, because quite often those communities, even today, are disadvantaged. You get to the point. This is now they are previously. It is as if they are not disadvantaged now. Particularly the rural people, the and other communities. Mami Robert. Hey, don't come in here. Yes, sir. Hey, sir. Yes, sir. By MPS, when we... Previously, by... Okay.
Indiscriminate in terms of allowing participation. And I think it's so important that we do, as a multi-party committee, do that. And to the extent that I have now very good friends at the table there, who I look at colleagues more than opposition members of parliament, I have two very good friends there from the Eastern Cape that travel as a colleague with me constantly on the airplane, and we often sort of look at each other and ask each other. And for the staff that actually operates here, the researchers, you got on the CC report, Kakulu, and Gary as a secretary, I'd just like to say thank you very much. I am not leaving the world. I'm only leaving the portfolio committee in parliament, which I think is due. But I look forward to interacting with you again, and if you ever come past Secondary Bay, where I retire, which is a very big tourist facility, you're welcome to look me up, and we will certainly get together and have a drink together. So I wish you all the very best, those that are returning, those that are leaving, I also will see them, and I look forward to meeting you all again in different parts as they come.
But before you go, I'd like to say thank you very much for conducting yourself my journey all the way. And then secondly, it wouldn't be possible for me to conduct my work efficiently if I did not have support of you all, and particularly the majority party. Everyone here has been supportive. We managed together, and we have been successful, because even when it was difficult, I went to my colleagues in the ANC, I said, hey, it is difficult, how do we move forward? And then they assisted. After the debate, we assisted each other and moved on. But thank you very much. Okay.
All right.
Since 44 we have done, then 14.22 market is the 14.22 first sentence, land market of 8.2 rather than with 8.2. Then 4.22 the third sentence from the bottom as well. Starting with marketing. Marketing also needs to be consolidated in other emerging markets such as BRICS countries, with special attention to China, which is presenting. But let us be mindful that this is a legacy report. It is going to find a lot of new MPs coming, so they won't be readily understanding BRICS and all the other abbreviations we use. They'll be understanding sometimes, but if there are too many, then they... So it is important to make sure that we write in full, or at least one. And then, it is recommended that South African tourism opens more offices in the African market and emerging markets in Asia. And then I wonder why we do not have South America, because we've got Brazil in BRICS. But I don't know. Just check your understanding. But I wanted us to add in South America. But if you, there is a reason for leaving it this way, let us leave it this way. Then page 46. At the bottom. It is the third last sentence, starting with it is under international airlift. It is observed with concern that there is a continued slow pace and resistance of some African states in ratifying the Yamoussoukro Declaration, in opening African skies and having seamless airlift capability. I think we've got to they remove the, and then Yamoussoukro declaration has got to be sort of a footnote with what it means. It's not every MP who can go to Google and get Yamoussoukro. Then, that was 46-51. The last paragraph. is just stressing that members of the committee were committed and had generally discussed that they attended meetings diligently, and I do agree with this. However, members that served in more than one committee sometimes struggle to attend other meetings. The master attendance register is archived. So I checked with the master attendance register, but I could not remember when we absent or not absent. So I can't correct that. So, and then perhaps there could be other problems. Then I manage it and make sure that we can understand them. All right? But all in all, I propose that we propose adoption of that.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure that there was a suggestion made by you, Mr. Farrer, that we say the correction is put in the amendment. I'll request that maybe because when we tabled the report, we were tabling for adoption at any time, but it was not adopted when we tabled.
Yeah.
So that we just make corrections on the original document rather than having amendments, because we were not adopting, we were just tabling for members to make input.
Yeah.
Or you can only adopt it today, yeah, with all the amendments.
Mr. Farrow came with the typewriter approach. Now let us come with the computer approach. With the typewriter, you see, you know, when with the computer, you can correct him inside. Yes.
So where exactly are we going to incorporate today's meeting? Would it be in the form of an agenda? If it's going to be, then it goes into the legacy. But because we're going to be making certain recommendations in that agenda, the legacy thing will not be necessarily very helpful, because I'm not sure whether the department, you know, how serious. I don't know whether it can be a separate report with a short two-pager and then add it as an agenda to the legacy. I'm just thinking, you know, the meeting of today.
Well, I think as part of the legacy report, as the committee, we can say that we recommend or support initiatives to, and then we name the thing. It's got the all those things. Yes.
On page 47, the under recommendation, domestic tourism, why don't we expand there?
What page is that, Doctor?
So page 47.
Domestic.
Rather than maybe having a separate agenda. But we can't expand there.
This is not confined to domestic tourism. I mean, if you look at Carnival and you look at all the others, these are also for accepting international events. So you can't simply detach it in there. But it's beyond the domestic tourism.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions?
Okay, no. I think it is.
The culture and heritage is some heritage tourism or something. It will be affectionate.
No, I think it would be more honest to have a one pager as an attendant. This could not find space, unfortunately, because and then we came here at the last meeting. And the committee recommended
and then
we put reasons, because I mean, we did not get a point. We saw an affection that would diminishing, correcting jobs, those things that we adopted it for.
And we accepted it as a viable project which needs the support, serious support of our department. So I think that would be fine.
Okay, we agreed on that.
Yes.
Then we'll see how we manage the class. But right, then this one we adopt, right, with the addenda, so have we adopted the legacy report? No. Let us have a move in a second. Then we get to the Western Cape report. I've read it as well, but you see, on page 2 of this report, 3.1, we say that there was a lack of inclusive growth that creates jobs and promotes sustainable livelihoods as meaningful participation of historically disadvantaged communities and individuals were still questionable. I think that lack is too strong. We are saying
let's also apply to minimum. It's like the flow, or it doesn't mean that it's not a day.
Absence.
Lack is actually you're right. When you say lack, it means how could look.
No, yeah. It applies for minimum. It applies for it can be
It looks like you. Well, my understanding of lack is not minimal. It's real. It's not there.
It's like insufficient.
Insufficient is more accurate. You see, people should not say, hey, we are making propaganda or something. I think it's insufficient for people.
So that won't be truly
reflective.
But I agree with that. Mm. Yeah, definitely. But when you say that,
too strong.
Like, no, no, it's just wrong.
The message 3. Yes,
on. On page 2, I think it's 1 from
page 2.
Page 2, it's oversized to 2, 1 from 2, the province.
2 is 2 provinces. 2 is what's going on? Yes.
3.1. Again, go back to 3.1.
Go to the Western Cape.
If you go back to 3.1, there was less space to read. Now there was insufficient inclusive growth that creates jobs and promotes sustainable livelihoods, while meaningful participation for the historically disadvantaged communities and villages was still questionable. So, because when you make the statement insufficient inclusive growth, etc., and you stop at disadvantaged disadvantaged communities, that is enough to say what they should say. Because you then, when you say something is questionable, it would mean that somebody is claiming something, but it's in fact not so and therefore questionable. And now once you make a statement that it is insufficient, now we're taking that as a fact, and we agree that it is insufficient. So to go and say it's still questionable, it means that this is not attained to the contrary. You see?
Okay.
Now when you're already admitting that yes, no, there needs to be more inclusivity, insufficient, now to say questionable, you are questioning something that is practically recognized.
Okay.
So I think we should just
look at that community
and
individual.
Okay.
And what is the question of that right now? Because we are actually saving it. Insufficient. We won't need to get out of that. Really, it
yeah.
There are too many things. Thank you very much for the information. Page 3. Page 4. Page 4 at the top.
Yeah, oh, from the National Department.
It's from the National Department.
Land.
Provincial coding.
National.
Program management.
Program.
Oh, Director of Program Management. National Program Management. National Department Program Management. Okay.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for that observation. Then page 5. Page 6. Okay.
They were insufficient to choose the group that creates jobs and promotes sustainable livelihoods, while meaningful participation of the historic user communities and individuals is still irreverent.
Yeah, not satisfactory.
They were insufficient to choose the group that creates jobs and promotes sustainable livelihoods. I think we must leave out what meaningful participation.
Of the historic user communities.
Yeah, that's certain that it makes it incomplete.
Yeah. I think we have to take out the rules and
so it has to check in out that there was information in the board of the state and promoters and that rule to serve.
Of the historical disadvantages. Yeah. So this word while meaningful participation, I think we need to come up with it. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we got
it right.
Now
we got it right. Thank you. Then, I realize that you are our Mutonda.
Yeah.
Striker. Then they try. Page 7. Then page 8. I think on page 8 is we've got to include that the committee went hungry for a long time. Page 5. There was this thing of we were in the sixth civilization, first civilization that been destroyed. What did they say about that? But that is today, under West Coast Fossil Park.
I think on page 9 that you're working with, you know, the spacing between the numbers and the spacing should be increased.
Oh,
page 9, I think page 9 is here. Yeah. Page 9,
yeah. Yeah.
Sentences are being too close to the numbers.
Okay. Yeah, we've got to deal with spacing. Yeah. Then page 10, or page 9.
Okay.
Except if you can put it in
the
children.
Thank you for
seeing that. Then
page 10. Page 10, 7.4.4, chair and the exclamation mark before the part which should be out again.
Is it not there? Is it there? How is it from?
So where, what should we do? Put in a dash between?
No.
Don't put a dash? So we must separate.
Quatu.
Okay.
Quatu is one word.
Now he says on the website,
quatu. It has an exclamation.
Yeah, four emails and everything.
Yeah. And quatu.
Yeah, but she says the CTU is okay.
Who can pronounce the national motto properly? Page 11. They are facing just the attendance. Otherwise they are going to say your report is too short. Then page 11. Page 12. Zinoni Malemos, bring to a guide in chat.
Facing
page 14. Page 15. Now, have we included all recommendations that you think should be included? You know, sometimes you feel that there is a recommendation that we do not have. How have we accommodated you all? Page 15, then page 16. Yeah, well, there needs to be more collaboration between Brand South Africa and the South African tourism when it comes to marketing Cape Town. That means that the branding of Cape Town is as if it is completely separate from South Africa. I see in, I don't know what is happening in other provinces, but in KwaZulu-Natal they tried to push in the South African branding, but I don't know what is happening in other provinces. We are representing one country, and then it shouldn't be totally separate. But I think that one also has to be flagged for the next parliament. Have you looked at the branding? Brand South Africa, and then the sign there, South Africa, Cape Town is Western Cape, no, it's Western Cape. Western Cape, I don't even remember their brand. What does it have? Okay, for Western Cape. And then Cape Town? The city, But let's leave it with the Secretariat. Just keep note on the issue of South Africa trying to have one brand. Or a brand where you can distinguish that this is Cape Town but it is South Africa. This is Gauteng but it is South Africa. This is KwaZulu Natal but it is South Africa. Let us improve on that. I mean, we are not, I'm not totally satisfied that we are doing our best in as far as that is concerned. But we can always improve. It's not only Western Cape, it's many provinces in fact. But I think that oversight is oversight of the future. There are so many things that need to be looked at now, but also we've got to say we are different provinces, but we are one nation. So, any mover, Mama? Then, okay, just to read what you want. In marketing, Cape Town.
Marketing the Western Cape.
When we're talking about the Western Cape.
Marketing the Western Cape.
In the should it be Cape Town or Western Cape?
Western Cape.
Western Cape. Because we had gone to Western Cape. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, correct all mistakes. Yeah, because sometimes if you speak read, you don't even notice mistakes. Just get the idea. And then you find yourself that there are so many mistakes, but you have grasped what is happening. But no, they have to happen, and then they have got to be corrected. But the best way is to have the person that was not writing the report reading, proofreading. But with time, you see, because it also needs time.
And they were So it used to be there, I was keen to make it into the capital of small businesses. So if it's something that then needs to be raised somewhere else, eventually, you know, to say that.
Let us not run away. If they shoot us, let them shoot us. Let us say that we believe that there should be an editing or whatever committee unit in parliament. Because now we keep on shooting, people are busy doing other things. Like Uteri does not sit and read documents or researchers. They've got other things to look at. But there should be people who like reading. You should proofread. It's proofreading, editing, and putting it in a nicer, in a readable thing, format. You know, the RDP, or not the RDP, the new development plan, they had an author to make sure that it was made to be readable. Because it was people, academics, they were doing the hard brick and mortar work. But now there was this person who is a poet now and a writer who now writes then for the people to be able to read 500 pages. Because so I think we need to have those people in parliament. But we have to have it under the recommendations of our legacy report. Let us just make another addendum. You captured the thing. We make an addendum that we are not satisfied about the editing of, because I don't think it's everything is there. But sometimes we need a person with time to read, improve reading and editing. We just and then it should be. Yeah. Because what I noticed is that if you have written the document, even when you proofread it, you still go through the mistakes. You don't see the mistakes. Unless someone points out, but... And then you say, oh, but how could I let you go? But then we adopt this one, Western Cape mover, seconder, Mamjong.
You will allow me as well because I'm one of those who's not coming back.
No. Let us make sure that we are finished here. Alright, the meeting is over now, eh? Okay. No, I think perhaps it's time perhaps then to say the goodbye. Perhaps let me be the last one to say so. But then, you want to start?
I know I'm not going to be coming back. I'm going to Florence more likely. I want to firstly express my deep gratitude to you, sir. I also served on various committees in this house, and the defense committee, etc. We had different experiences in different committees, but I must say I thoroughly enjoyed my work here. In the spirit in which we operated, the staff, the interaction that we had with my colleagues in the committee. What I enjoyed most in the committee was that I wasn't looked upon as a member of the official committee, I was looked upon as a member of the committee, and that's how I was. In the set of country and nation. And I want to express my thanks and gratitude to other members of the committee and other parties as well for your friendship and for understanding and for the huge contribution that has collectively made. Thank all of you for being wonderful journey and we will be in touch. Like when I wasn't here, you were not here. Thank you. Wherever we are, we must know that we are South Africans. They've been blessed, and I just pray, Chair, that some of us will come back to the committee so that we can retain institutional memory, which is very, very important and crucial for working in the committee. And whoever will be coming in the future, like I have been sheeted, I wish you every got a better trust. Whenever you need our advice, though we are not here, we are willing to give. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. when the whip is not there, there is no leader. Okay, for the ANC, if there is no leader from my party, perhaps let me lead the party, but and then try and summarize. Firstly, let me say, we have just started building democracy. 20 years is not enough. It's just a small step in the journey of the nation. I think everyone has got to understand that. There is America, there is Britain, there is different countries. They have so many years they have covered. And the issue, just remember that 20 years for a nation, for developing a nation, is just a small amount of time, very, very small. We are still trying to develop institutions. They are not perfect. They won't be perfect, but they are not where we wish them to be at this stage. But we've got always to encourage dialogue. We've got always to remember that in meetings, we have to meet because our views do not meet. So if you are challenged by somebody, no matter how they challenge you, remember that we are meeting because our ideas do not meet. You wouldn't be as far as you would have been if other people were not there in the meeting. So that when they oppose you, perhaps they are thinking that they are enriching the approach of the committee. So let us always try and put ourselves in the shoes of the other person. It is important for South Africa, it is important for Africa, it is important for the world. We've got, because for us to have development, we've got to have peace. For us to have satisfaction, we've got to have peace. For us to realize our potential, we've got to be have peace and to be happy to be South Africans. So we are going forward and building a nation. Here the wounds of apartheid are still too raw for us to be not sensitive to that. It's a difficult area to manage, particularly if you are passionate about that issue. Could be affirmative action, it could be anything, but when you are passionate, think strongly about an issue, you tend to not worry about the softer issues in relationships. And talking about building, I think also good relationships are always better than bad relationships in moving an organization forward. Any organization, whether you are moving a government, whether you are moving a business, whether you are moving a union, you've got to be together and move together and know that we are moving behind a common purpose. What is our common purpose? Our common purpose is a better life for all. Whether you are ANC, DA, IFP or whatever. But as perceived value, but that better life, we have all agreed that the cross is via the NDP to that better life. We are going to go via the NDP, and then for any politician that is going to come there, they've got to know the NDP much better. At least if you do not have time, read the summary of the National Development Plan. That document is well thought of. South Africans do not, has not been adopted by all South Africans, all chapters and so forth. But do remember that as South Africans, when we met in Pretoria, when we met in Cape Town, when we were drawing the constitution, when we ultimately agreed on the constitution, we agreed that there was disagreement. That is why we said there was sufficient consensus. There was no agreement in South Africa. If you look at our history, at our constitution, all the positions, the positions, some positions regarded as very important by some, had been agreed through sufficient consensus. That yes, I do not fully agree with you, but I can live with it. I do not agree with you, but I can live with it. Because we are driving towards a common purpose, and that common purpose is a better life for all South Africans. Mm. So if we have that, we are not going to fight. We've got to have the fundamental understanding. We've got to understand what is fundamental and what is not. And in my party, the ANC, there is a very, when you were thinking around the political education, there was something that was called fundamentals, basics, and principles. Then when you're fighting now, when there is conflict, you started going down and say, is it basic? Is it principle? Is it fundamental? They have a disagreement, and then you judge it using those in order to go forward. So let us agree that we know that we are a nation of sufficient consensus. Because if we do not, we accept that we are all from one book, we are not going to be able to manage our beautiful country. And then, thirdly, I think it is important for us all to strive all the time for South Africa to be the best it can be. And I found that you all have been contributing to that. The staff members, the members of different parties, always when we met, I found that When now we needed to dig deep down, you understood that we are building a country, you understood that we have to make South Africa the strongest it can be. And then coming to that, Jerry, thank you very much. And I'm sure that I'm representing everyone here for the hard work and then for insisting and being on time and having things on time and doing your work quite well. I know in other committees sometimes people don't honor tea, sometimes people don't remind members and so forth. Thank you for work well done. So Punky, thank you Punky for everything. You have been trying so hard and to make this committee work better, and then in trying to make your country better, our country better. So it's your country, but it is also our country. Yes, Ralph, driven hard, but you contributed. The same applies to Dr. Kuzwai. Please keep on the hard work. Sometimes I know to the three secretariats, sometimes I demand things at a short notice and I say no, but it should be complete by this time. They say, but it's not possible. But I said no, it has to happen, and you know that it has to happen. That happens in any job environment. Don't think that it is going to happen here only, but you've got to be trained also for pressure all the time, because particularly in senior positions there is pressure. To my executive secretary, thank you very much. We are still going to work with you, but thank you very much for work well done, reminding me of my responsibilities, meetings, and so forth. To Leslie, thanks Leslie for making sure that we followed up on our responsibilities. We knew what was happening. You asked for from the department. You got information whenever we needed information. When we needed information from the party as well, your office together with the whip provided the information that we required. Coming to Mr. Durant, I see that now I can hardly see you now. It looks like you have stopped smoking. Stopping to smoke makes you bigger, always. When I was a smoker, I was also tiny. It's a pleasure. It was a pleasure working with you. You were always having that vim, vigor, and rev. And whenever you wanted something, you move very fast to make sure that the information are there. And keep it up and serve our country, my country, your country. And then Peter, thank you very much, Lucy, for being there for us whenever we needed you, for supplying us with information. And I'm missing you in the CGIS. I used to get all information timely about cabinet statements. I used to get all cabinet statements on the same day they were made. Cabinet information, CGIS, on the day they were made. Let me tell you, now that is no longer happening. And I know it is because Petra has left CGIS. Thank you very much for the service. But in just emphasizing what I said to Petra, let us make sure that we learn from people who are ahead of us wherever we are. And then secondly, to encourage systems, because it's easier working with systems and manuals that perhaps in some organizations, whenever you write a document, there's a pink document, you know where to send it, there's a yellow document. those things work because it makes sure that communication goes to everyone on time. And I almost forgot about the most important person in the house, PMG. PMG, thank you very much. We shall always be referring also to your notes and referring to the minutes, and then you are creating our legacy, and I'm sure that researchers are getting back our minutes, and then what you write there is supported there. Because you also have recorded voices in there. Keep it all up and then check your organization on our behalf for serving our democracy. Well, I know that sometimes we have issues with PMG, but that is the nature of humankind. When you make me happy, I say I'm happy. When you do not make me happy, I say you're not honest. That is the nature of mankind. But keep on doing your work. Remember that it is the duty of every South African, whether be a journalist, be a PMG, be a politician, to make South Africa the strongest it can be. And then having said that, I know that some of us are going to come back, some of us are not going to come back. But wherever you go, make sure that you carry the responsibility to make South Africa a powerful nation. Do encourage our children to work harder. I'm not saying that they are not working hard. To work harder. Tell our children that there are more opportunities now. More opportunities at universities, at IIT, at entrepreneurship or whatever. They've got to go out and look for them. And then let the institutions that are there, because sometimes it is the institutions that do not give information. It is the institutions that do not interact properly or are not staffed by people that are capable of going out and engaging people. Let us make sure that we make our future, and by our future I mean the youth, to be as empowered as possible. But let us encourage each other. Doesn't mean that we've got to agree all the time, but the bottom line is to encourage each other to build a strong nation. Strong in terms of everything we do, so that we can sustain these achievements, and then have a 9%, 10% growth in mind. Once you start putting your mind to saying that we need to have 10%, then you start getting the energy to say, but what should I do? And then let us guide each other in doing as much positive work as possible. And let us encourage whenever we lead, encourage all South Africans to see South Africa the way it should. Criticize wrong and substantiate, but encourage South Africans when things are right, so that we can work and be a powerful nation. I'm here speaking in front of you. I do not know yet when I'm coming back to Parliament or not. information is going to come. But I'll serve South Africa as much as possible when I come back. I'll serve my party whether I come back to back or not. Because it is a duty for me, in order for me to be able to contribute, I have grown into this mood that makes me perform. So to everybody, let me also say thank you. I think the most important words I've got to say is thank you. Thank you from the ANC for the collective approach. When there was disagreement, we managed ultimately to come back and with thanks to the committee. When there was disagreement, we came back and had to be as one. So let us just strive to make sure that we are better off. I cannot give you any prizes. I have wished to, and then I do not know whether Gary has got money for us to have life together. But I am not going to speak in that meeting. I'm just going to appoint somebody today. You are going to speak today. I spoke enough in last portfolio committee meeting. But with those few words, let me say thank you very much. And let us all remember, South Africa has got to be beautiful. South Africa has to be strong. South Africa has to be a lovely country. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe from staff members as well will be doing a disservice if we are not taking members. You know, from College of Parliament, we hear of all kinds of stories about how some of our colleagues. No, yeah, but then you don't go there. But with us here, there, I think we will, even when I came late from my colleagues, couple of staff, I found people who helped me and took me the ropes, the parliament, and with the members as well, really we were at home. I know the right time is always. This committee, but it's your work, and we really we enjoy being in this committee. And for you, Chairperson, I think the Babu Horai has said it. I think you are the best Chairperson. Also, talking with what you hear from other people saying, I think really you are the best. And thank you very much. And we don't know how many of you will come back, but we would wish that most of you come back to the college, because really you feel like fathers and mothers. Thank you very much.
Our mind is with the final. All the little things.